Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Father in heaven, bless this time now, Lord. As we come, sit at your feet and to learn something from you. We thank you for this precious time and the days that we are living in. We know it's fast closing, O Father, Lord. Seeing the prophecy, seeing thy word, O Lord, unfold itself, fulfilling all those signs and wonders that you said, O Lord, will come to pass. And when we look at these signs, Lord, all these things that they are just unfolding now, you told us to lift up our hand for our redemption draw nigh. Soon, O Father, Lord, the time will come when our body will be redeemed, changed to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the air. But Lord, while we have just but a little short time left, while we are here, may we, Lord, learn to walk from day to day with you closely. For we need to walk close to you, Lord. For there is so much out there in this world that seek for our attention, to draw us away from thy word, Lord, and make us even to grow cold towards your beloved word that you have so given to us so far. And you have asked to put on your word to be fruitful in this life. And we pray, Father, Lord, that our life are truly worthy of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us help us to understand, Father. Make us be conscious of your very presence every day. To know that, Lord, we should not take your grace and make it a disgrace, that we are allowed to do anything we want. For there have been false teaching going out there to say, when we are in Christ, we have liberty. But in their liberty, Lord, they do anything they want, and they think they still have salvation in their life. Because yet, they have failed to see the other side of the coin. When you said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So what then, Father, is your commandment? For to fulfill every word. Because, Lord, if we are part of that Logos, we are the part of the body of Christ, the part of that word that was broken down for us. The day when Christ was arrested and torn apart, the pieces of body that was torn out. We know that when we are part of that, that we are truly your people. Because you have shown us in the communion, this is my body, take it and eat it, what is given to you. So Father, we are part of your word. Help us then to identify ourselves, to know who we are, to find our place in the very word of God. If we cannot find our place, Father, in the Holy Scripture, then we are lost. We pray, Father, Lord, you stir within us, Lord, a desire, always a constant desire to thirst after righteousness, to thirst after your word, to thirst after the very life of the Holy Spirit of Christ Jesus, O Lord, whose life was given up at Calvary. So, Lord, we thank you for this fine day now. As we sit under your feet now, may your presence be with us and bless Brother Nice as he come minister to us. Take a hold of him, Father. For you raise him up, O Father, Lord, for the purpose in this ministry. And we pray, Father, Lord, that we are fed today as well. For we commit this time to you, Lord, the blessing of your saints. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen. 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 You may be seated, Brother Lance.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. It's very good to be here again. give thanks to the Lord for all His goodness, all that He has promised, and we see His promise come to fulfillment. It reminds us the days that have passed, wherein we have read from scriptures how the apostles and prophets of old, how they led their lives with God. I'm very honored to be here. All glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the lover and the keeper of the church, even the bride of Jesus Christ. And I want to thank the Lord for how He had planned out things. We learn every day by the experiences we meet in journeying in the faith. We get to know that sometimes when we face some set of trials, He's not telling us that it is not the will of God. You want to do something and then there's a hitch. Then you just interpret that, oh, maybe it's not the will of God. But maybe God was asking you to press a little more weight, because that every faith that does not carry patience cannot be the faith of God. If you exercise faith, you have to wait. Wait for it to come to pass. For when God said, let there be light, He waited until the light came. So we must all learn to wait and persevere as we pursue things that pertains to the Lord. Amen. So may the Lord bless you richly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be giving a report from Fiji and other places this morning, just to encourage us. It's been 7 years since I last came here, and I did a little bit of calculation. I found out that each time I come to Singapore, the last time I came in 2011, it was 7 years after the last time I came. Amen.
Amen.
So I don't think we will have another 7 years. I don't pray to have another 7 years to wait.
Right.
Amen. I'm trusting that we will all catch the first flight and be where we ought to be.
Amen.
So I'm seeing everyone, seeing the goodness of God. All of you, God bless you, my brother and sisters, Sister Ruth and my husband, and Emmanuel. I've not seen Adam, where he's seated. Okay, he's there. Amen. So I am grateful to know that the Lord has kept you all.
Amen.
Many waters have run under the bridge. Yes. This is part of the testimony that we have, ups and downs. It is part of what God ordered in the steps of the righteous that we must go through. And I want to thank the Lord for Sister Gritty, who had to take the pain to sacrifice family reunion to be here just for the word of God. The Lord bless you, sister. Already we're having a very good time. We started having good time since last night. And I thank Brother Richard Gunn. He's my father in the ministry. I remember the first time I came here. The first day we met, we were not friendly, because I was watching, hiding something behind. My sword was behind me to stab him, because I've heard. Amen. But you see, he said something that day. I can remember that photograph. I still kept it. We were by the seaside. I don't know where that is.
That's by the coast.
Yeah, East Coast. So someday you will see with your own eyes. And that's my prayer for everyone that I meet, everywhere. That the Lord help people not to see with other people's eyes, but with their eyes. So you can, because you're going to defend and be responsible for every of your actions and your thoughts before the Lord. So I thank the Lord for everything. And may the Lord be glorified in the name of Jesus Christ. I bring greetings from my family, my wife and children, Sister Blessing and the three children. I also bring greetings from the church. We are very close to you at heart. They may not know how you, what the size of this assembly is, but we are very, very close to you at heart. Our prayers also is for you, because we know what it is like to serve the Lord in this part of the world. It's a different thing. You can compare Nigeria to Philippines, and maybe India has its challenges, but in Africa we are, I think we have time, we have the opportunity. Our challenges are different, but when you come over here, it's a different ballgame, and we understand that.
Yes.
But the Lord has placed you here because he trusts that you will be able to make it. So we don't have any excuse than to watch the Lord and do the right thing. Amen. So I bring also special greetings from Brother Billy Joseph. Brother Billy Joseph is our lovely brother. I was introduced to Brother Billy Joseph by Brother Richard in 2005. But I didn't meet him until 2006. And since then we've been together, ups and downs, and the Lord has seen us through. We have a cluster of ministers together who have come out to stand back to the Bible, back to the truth, that which the prophet of this generation fought for. It is hard. You may not understand if you are confused, but my prayer will be that God open the eyes of his people. As I talk here in prophetic revelation, I'm not talking to you alone. This is a center point, a meeting place for a lot of believers, both those who open their hearts and those who just want to check what is happening to them. Let's see what's happening, how much madness they have incurred. I know that. So the message I bring this morning, after this short report, as the Lord laid in my heart as I was flying back, I had prepared something, but the Lord just spoke to me in the flight. I was feeling very uneasy because I couldn't sleep. I was telling Brother Tui that he should not worry, I will try to rest in the flight. But when I boarded the aircraft, it was not easy for me to concentrate. A lot of noise and things like that. So I just opened my Bible and I was reading, and the Lord spoke to me and told me, this message this morning is not just for the people of Singapore, the believers here, but it will help. So I just trust that the Lord will help me this morning to convey his mind to his bride. May the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Brother Gann has prayed, and I want to line up behind that. Let me just read the scripture this morning. There are so many greetings that I have brought on with a shipload of greetings. The container is still being uploaded at the port, so I will not fail to disseminate the greetings to the appropriate positions or place. From Brother Tui, all the saints in Philippines, in Fiji, Brother Collade in Australia, Brother Jean-Marie in France, Brother Pierre Rohanna, Sister Brie, Sister Shannon, these are new sisters and brothers who the Lord has just touched. They were in a church that was believing the second coming of Brother Abraham, and I was there to preach in the States, and the Lord actually took that which belonged to him, which we don't break churches. We've never broken any. Amen.
Amen.
But the Lord will take what belongs to him, and you can't do anything about that.
Right.
Amen. So as much as the Lord help you, if you are a businessman, you are a civil servant, whatever you do, just remember, put it at the back of your mind that you are kept there to represent the Lord.
Amen.
So with wisdom, he that winneth soul is wise.
Amen.
With wisdom, you communicate your faith in love and with respect to other people's religion, to other people's belief. Give them the chance to say their mind, but let them know who you are.
Yes.
It is very important. Because Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me in this adulterous generation, I will be ashamed of you in my Father's kingdom.
Right.
So take care not to waver when you are asked concerning who you are. You are who you are, and you should be proud of it. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to read something from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 21. From verse 1, we just read a little to verse 13. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. Acts 21. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. And when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria, and landed at Tyre. And there the ship was to unload her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when he had accomplished those days, we departed, and when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children, till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them 1 day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the 7, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come in unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of the place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. But Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of Jesus Christ, for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done.
Amen.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you this morning. I told you the last time I came that we must respond. When I say the Lord bless you,
amen,
you either accept it or you give it back to me, and I take it back. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, we are. When you stand by the seashore, you could hear the sea making that move, that the wave. Yeah, so it's fellowship. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, because I know we'll go for lunch, and I will hear tops. There will be noise,
right.
and the food don't make the noise. We do. Amen. The Lord blessed us so much in Fiji.
We had 98 souls baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Across the islands. Over 20 of them came from the SDAs, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Over 30 from Assemblies of God. And the rest were of Methodist descent, including one of the sons of the very senior minister of the Methodist Church. We also had in this a small town called Dragetti, the most senior Assemblies of God pastor who was to oversee the entire area. He publicly made his faith, declared his faith, and was baptized with his household. And seeing there was no church there, the nearest church would be about 170 kilometers or 200 from there, we laid hands on him and asked him to continue with the brethren. He has already gotten some of our materials, been reading the message of Brother Brown, but could not place it. Amen. God will always send men to preach. Angels don't preach.
Right.
And nobody preaches from the grave.
Amen.
Amen. So with that, I would like to share a vision that I had some years back. Because what I want to speak on this morning is understanding spiritual gifts in the New Testament church. In the New Testament setting. Spiritual gifts. What are we called for? What are we called to do? What does God want us to do? Who does He want us to be? How should we live our lives day to day? How should we balance the word and the giftings? Amen. This is very important. It is very important, especially to you who live in a country like this. Singapore looks very free, but it's a locked country, spiritually locked. Amen. So how are we supposed to be living our lives day to day? How do we exercise our spiritual muscles? How do we grow? Amen. So these things we want to look at. So maybe some of the testimonies might come in as we are preaching. But the word is very important at this time. Amen. Praise the Lord. In 2003/4, it was 2003 December, I had a vision. It was the first vision I had of Brother Brown. When he said to me, he appeared, we were in an uncompleted building. I was actually building the church. And I had been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in 1996. And came among some end-time message believers. But they couldn't just walk. But there's time for everything. I know that the seed of God will never be lost. I was cushioned by a lot of pressure from the PAW, where my uncle still remains the overall bishop, the diocesan, as they call it. And but in that particular year, it came to the climax. We are at the summit of it, and the Lord started sending people with visions. But until it is revealed to you yourself, it makes no sense. Then the voice said to me, I saw him clearly. It was just as clear as daylight. Arise, get out of this cage. And he pointed. He said, fly east. Now when I woke up from that vision, I thought the Lord was actually laying in my heart to go to eastern Nigeria. And I went there. And I turned, there was nothing. And I came back. I decided to wait and to pray. It began to be clearer when one day I got an invitation from India. I saw this invitation. It was from the south part of India. That will be underneath Chennai, that area. the south east southeast area down. And before I will finish assessing that, another invitation came from Kenya. And that was east. East, far east is going. Okay, I tried to, okay, maybe because I was still having a lot of things to play around with the church there. Then the persecution came. Sometimes we have these persecutions just to push us out. Like it happened in Jerusalem. They wanted to sit in their comfort zone to worship the Lord as we all think we are having, but the heat will come and you have to open the windows for people to see what was inside. So opening the windows, they have to run away. The doors have to be open. So I left Lagos, went to Kenya. I had all it takes to sponsor the trip. Everything was there because I was still having link and source to the funds of the PAW. So I came to Kenya, Nairobi. I met a church there that received me. The first day we preached there, the Muslim, it was the time that the Al-Shababs were starting. The Somalian Islamic people were actually being accommodated in Kenya. So that night after the service, the church was broken down. Though it was built with the zinc, they used the zinc all over. So they came and they destroyed it because of certain things that they heard that I said. They were not there, but the people went talking about it in the town, and those Muslim people came in annoyance and they broke down the place. I caused this problem, I thought. Then I had to assist the brother to raise the place. We bought some woods that were destroyed, used the old ones, and after a few days, I went to India. Now, something happened in India. I don't know if Brother Gan have been told this before, but a lot of brothers and sisters, they know. When I went to India, I arrived at Mumbai, and when I checked the bag that I had the invitation, after I was given the stamp to go in, I didn't find the address. I didn't find the address. And I was trying in my mind to remember the name of the preacher. I could not. The name of the place. I don't know if you have been in this situation whereby you just had something with you and you forgot it and you don't know where it is. And you could just want to die because the thing, I just was with it a while ago. The name of the preacher, okay, let's leave the name of the preacher. Let me find the name of the city. I could not. I struggled on the inside, nothing. And the airport in Mumbai at that time was being renovated. So I didn't know where the toilet was, and everywhere was just rowdy. And you know, India, they are blessed with population. Everywhere was just there. I thought that we had a great population. When I got to India, I knew that, wow, your father's farm is not as big as other people's farm. So a policeman was watching me from a distance. He was just looking at me, observing me. They are taught to do that. Psychologically, they size you. Then he knew that probably either I was trying to do something wrong, or I was lost. So he came to me. He said to me, "Where do you go? Where do you go?" That's how he spoke. Now, of all questions in the world, that's the question he asked me. Then I said to him, "Toilet." Amen. And he said, "Okay, toilet there." So I went to the toilet. I went there, I came, because I was not to do anything. And I came out, stood again, trying to, all this while I'm buying time to remember, because I cannot just, the brother told me, "When you come, call me and I'll tell you which train to book to come over," because he wasn't coming. So I was trying to buy time to catch up. And I came out again, I stood there, was trying to remember, then he came back to me. "Where do you go?" Again, "Where do you go?" So since I could not say anything, he started asking. "Hyderabad, Secunderabad, Guntop." Very fast. "Hyderabad, Secunderabad, Guntop, Delhi." I said the second one. And I don't know what the second one was. So he took me. "Hyderabad." He took me and said, "You have money?" "Yes."
bought the ticket for me, gave me money, bought the ticket, told me 2 days, he put me there. Brothers and sisters, Hyderabad is this way. Where I was going is this way, down there.
Yes.
I knew it that I was already lost before leaving, but I had to leave that place. He waited there, and the train left. So, is this not the gamble? One gambling with something? I sat in there 2 days, I didn't close my eyes. I did not sleep. A lot of things ran through my mind. You have been stubborn. You see, God didn't call you. You ought to have gone back there. It means it is not the will of God that you are here. But you know that this is not, the place never started with a H. So how are you going? Where? We arrived at Hyderabad at 12:30 the next day. I came out of the train. I stood out there waiting. In Mumbai, it was easier. I could hear people speak English. When I got to Hyderabad, it was different. They were speaking the language they call Telugu. So, no much of English on the streets. And I just waited there. And tears rolled my eyes, rolled down. And I said, Lord, if you help me this time, I will never venture. I'm not even called. I will go back home, stay with my wife. She was even pregnant then. It was 2005. And I just waited there. I said, oh, but I went to Kenya, there was problem. Now here, there's problem. It means that I'm wrong. But while I was contemplating, man walked by. He was with a motorcycle, he was just riding, then he stopped. He came 2 steps backward and said to me, excuse me, are you a servant of God? The first thing, when you are in problems, the problem might define you.
Right.
Because you don't see anything more than the problem. I thought he was going to steal the bag, because I didn't see the other bag, the small purse that contained the address. So they took that. But I didn't keep my money there. So I just didn't answer him, but I protected the bag. Then he asked again, are you a servant of God? Then I remembered. I said, oh, by the grace of God. He said, please, come to my house and let me give you a little water to drink. And what is your house? He said, up the hill. Then he wanted to take the bag. I said, no, for the bag, don't worry. I will take it. He said, oh, you cannot take the bag and be on this bike. Then he decided to roll his bike. So we rolled the bike and got to the foot of the hill. He tied it there by a label. And then he actually took one of the bags. We started climbing. We got to his house, top there. Introduced me to his wife. He had 2 children, Anos and Enoch. They came, they greeted, and then they went back. Then he said, sit down here. I ran to buy you a drink. As soon as he left, I saw water flow from the ground. And I said, oh, excuse me, sister, there is water spot on the ground. And this woman ran, she came. Oh, these children, they will kill me. We are poor because of water. We are suffering because of water. I didn't get it. That's what she was saying. And I had to take the bag and put the bag on the chairs. And she repeated this thing, and then she went back trying to find the source of the water that was running. Then the husband came. Oh, these children will kill me. Repeating exactly the same. Ah, we are suffering because of water. And they went inside. Something told me, why not just take your bag and get away from here? What is happening? Then they came out. And it is natural about Indians that have not received the word of God. They just fell in the water there, knelt down, and they were touching my feet. And they were... I said, no, what is this? He said, you are a servant of God, really. You are a servant of God. You don't know what has happened here. I said, what has happened? He said, this morning when I met you, I was being released from the police station. I took a loan 3 years ago. We dug a borehole to get water because there's no water in this area. And it hit a rock. They said, we can't get water. He said, you came into this house. Water is bursting from there right now. I said, I need to see. When I went, really, it was a fountain.
Yeah.
Just pulling out. Then I said, what are we going to do? He said,
I'm going to get pipes. I said, oh, I have some money to give you. We get got pipe. As soon as we put the pipe and the thing was falling, the people traced the water. And they came. They were fetching. A long line from the hill down. And I asked him, can I preach to these people? He said, yes, preach. And I started preaching. And he was interpreting. That night, we baptized 69 persons. And started the church. That was the first encounter that I had. Because of the vision, fly east. And that flying east brought me here. Amen. To Singapore. I actually came to Singapore to rest. Because I've gone around other places. And that's how our story started here. 2 years later, I got another dream. And this time, I was to go to Zambia. I was preparing to go to Zambia. The second dream, no, not Zambia. I got a dream of the crystal clear water about the ministry of Richard Gunn. You have that on the website. Amen. But for reference purpose, I need to say this. The Lord showed me, Brother Brown, I was thirsty, running down, descending through, you know, in my place, wherever you have a stream, you have hills, you have to come down to the water. So I was smelling a clean water, you know, the smell of clay water. I was running down to get this water. When I came, I saw this clean water, and I wanted to put my hands. My conscience struck me, said, you can't put your hands, no, it's a dirty. But I didn't get anything to fetch from that water. And then I saw him again. He was having an old type saucepan, aluminium. The aluminium saucepan was not smooth. It's not like the aluminium you make these days like you find in your cups and things, no. Those olden aluminium, I don't know if you have seen those ones. Maybe those in the 60s, 70s. There's aluminium that is not nicely polished. He had that. And he was offering it to me. I was standing thinking, what will happen if I take this cup? Everyone will say, oh, you've gone to Brother Gunn, blah, 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 blah. And he said to me, look behind me. Now, look behind me because look into the river. And when I looked into the river, I saw men with cloud, with the body of cloud. They were brighter as they were near. As they were going, they were fainted. They were fainting in appearing. Brother Brown, in the same suit he wore, when he said to me, fly east. And that struck me. Amen. Just like that, down. And that's why I call the website that we use, Seventh Basket. That's how I came about it. Then the vision that sealed everything was the one that I had from Congo to Zambia. It came to mind that I should go and meet Brother Piri to help the ministry and the work there. But I had to pass through Congo. When I went to Congo, if you've heard about the confusion in Congo, went to Congo, and just after one service, I was practically thrown out of the church. I was taken, you know, I thought that maybe they were experimenting something. I saw two huge men walking close to me, they are deacons, and they came and they carried me practically from the pulpit. I was still preaching and they carried me. I didn't finish. And they went outside, one, two, three, then the bar came. So I picked up the bag and I was walking away. And Brother Bitwa came after me. I was actually rejected. And I had no money. The visa, we had a brother in church who was supposed to renew the visa for me to travel to Zambia. So what happened? We went to Bitwa's house. And we just prayed and I slept. That night I had a dream. But my experience in the dream woke Brother Bitwa up because we were sleeping together on one bed. So he woke up. He actually was writing or catching some things down. He shared that testimony when he came to my church in 2015. So he heard the things I said. And sometimes when you dream,
The way you wake up from your sleep can make you forget the dream. If somebody taps you wrongly, you can miss it. So, but he allowed me, I woke up, and then he gave it to me first, said, "What this? What's that?" So in that dream, I saw that I was in an old compound that had flowers as the fence, demarcation from another compound. And we have this mortar, wooden mortar, where we pound things in Africa. So I was actually pounding. Then Brother Graham touched me. Somebody touched me. A hand touched me from the back. When I turned, the person was not here. So it means he touched me from this, from the left hand side, touching the right. So when I turned, not expecting who I was to see, I saw Brother Graham. And I kind of mesmerized in terms of, oh, I didn't know what to call him, maybe Papa or Daddy or Brother or Prophet. I was just in between. And he was not even interested. He said to me, "I heard you are going to Zambia." Clearly, I saw it and I heard it. "I heard you are going to Zambia." I said, "Yes." He said, "I'll go there with you and I will preach." Then there were some leaves in his hand. He said, "Add these leaves to what you are pounding." I said, "What are these for?" He said, "It's for healing. Keep pounding." And I kept pounding. And then the vision changed. We were in Zambia. And we're going to a primary school. In the primary school, at the gate of the primary school, there was a fierce looking lion. He was ferocious, tearing, shouting, screaming, roaring. And Brother Brown did something. He put me on the right hand side, to the side of the lion. And he was on this side. And I expected him to come in between me and the lion. So I closed my eyes because I could not resist going back. So I closed my eyes in that vision. And he said to me, "Calm down. Look at the lion." I said, No. I'm not gifted in looking at lions, because actually I was scared. I actually was confronted with the lion in Uganda. Some year in 2005. So I said, No. I don't like lions. I don't want to see this lion. And he said, "Just look at the lion." Then I opened my eyes slightly and I looked. And he showed me the kind of chains you have, anchor for the ship, had wrapped this lion so the lion could not go further. He said, "You're just going to pass by it. Its mane may touch you, but nothing." So we passed by the lion, and I closed my eyes. Waking up, we were already in the classroom. And Brother Brown, it was actually a classroom. And Brother Brown was teaching the message. Brother Brown was preaching. He was preaching broken systems. I always carry that message around, broken system. So when he finished preaching, he discerned, and six people were healed of cancer. I woke up in that vision. The brother could hear this conversation in the dream. The one who, Brother Victor, who had woken up and had taken notes, and I had to tell him. So he said, "Brother Nice, if this vision is true, then it means you are going to go to Zambia. But right now, physically, otherwise, there is no way for you. In fact, you'll be arrested because the Congolese visa expired the day I came." It expired the day I came. I had to get a flight to South Africa. I crossed over Congo in South Africa, then came back from South Africa to Kinshasa. That's a long routing. So, it was what time? About 4 a.m. The phone rang. A preacher from Kinshasa who was holidaying in Libreville, in Angola, called at 4 a.m. "Hello, Brother Bito. I'm so sorry to trouble you at this time. I know you should be resting, but I woke up with a terrible vision. I don't know whether you remember this young missionary that came with one Chinese missionary the other time. I think it's Brother Nice from Nigeria." He said, "Yes. I don't know if you can connect me to him. The Lord shook me." And his phone, Brother Peter's phone, fell. Because I just finished explaining the dream. And somebody was calling him. He said, "Are you there? Are you there?" He picked up the phone. He said, "Brother, Brother Nice is right here in my room." He said, No, don't joke. Do not, no. It can't just be. I'm the one who got the vision." He said, "No. Okay, tell me your vision." He said, "The Lord said he's going somewhere and he's trapped and I should help him."
Hold him, I'm coming. By 2 p.m., the brother was already in Kinshasa. He brought me $2,000 and he took the passport and went to renew so that I can go out of Congo and come back. Now, by evening time, one of those in the church that rejected me because of polygamy message came and said, "Brother Nice, the Lord just disturbed me this hour. I'm going to pay your fare." I said, "Well, I can't fly in two planes. I already have the money and I'm going." He said, "No, you just have to, because you know I treated you wrongly." He still gave me money. And that's how I was in Zambia. And in Zambia, the church I ministered was in a classroom. We actually saw the lion. Yes, not physical lion, but there was a witch doctor. If you've read the story of Tatangimbo, who was baptized and who came shaking the entire place. And God broke his feathers and brought him to faith. Amen. Dreams and vision. Can it be true? Does God still use that?
Sure.
Sure. Amen. He still does.
Amen.
And I tell you the last one. Amen. Don't be tired of them.
No.
Amen.
Amen.
The last one I saw Brother Brown was in 2012, after I left here, in 2011. I was walking in the streets in Lagos, and a woman just stopped me and said to me, "Hey, what are you doing here? That's your prophet. He's in that uncompleted building, and all the preachers are there." And I decided to go there. Approaching, I could hear the noise, the confusion, arguments, they were accusing and counter-accusing, and shouting. Some were quiet, some were shouting, all preachers. And I entered. I tried to make my way, got up to, because I wanted to see Brother Bram. I got there and I saw him. There were two chairs, and he was seated on one. I have not shared this vision. I don't want people to misunderstand it. But there is a message behind it. So, the woman said to me, "All the preachers in your locality." So in Lagos, where a state of 23 million people squeezed in a small place, an uncountable number of churches we have. Many preachers of different kinds. I love and respect all of them. But I have my stand. Amen.
Amen.
So, I got in there and saw that the problem was because of the prophetic revelation books and other materials. They were pointing at making accusation, and they were saying, then when I came, they said, "Yes, this is the man, one of them, one of those men who say clearly that the thunders are not yet revealed and that seven men, this is the man that said it." I had a particular kind of mind in that vision. I wanted to be corrected. I don't want to miss rapture. So I was looking at Abraham Stanley, and I walked to him, and he did not restrict me, so I sat by him in the other chair that was empty, turning to him, kind of bending to say, "Just say that I am wrong, and I will repent." And he was just watching. They were shouting. This was going on. Then he stood up and took my hand and walked called past all of them. And we came out of the uncompleted building. Then I said to him, "Brother Brown, if you tell me something here, I will not like it. Because I expected you to clear it. I want to be sincere. Let's clear it face to face so that I know that they are right, I am wrong, or I am right, they are right, they are wrong." He said to me, "No one preaches from the grave."
Amen.
And I woke up. Amen.
Right.
Brethren, I don't know where you stand. I know where you stand. But in the sense I'm saying, because I'm not talking to you alone, like I said earlier, I don't know where you stand. I don't know where you are practically standing. But God is still doing something. There are seven stars in his right hand. It never increased to eight. But when Christ was being revealed in the book of Revelation, he was revealed in the midst of the seven candlestick, and that is all of us, including you seated here. I've come this time to speak both to brothers and sisters alike that God has never called anyone to be idle. We must be doing something for the Lord. The saint shall judge angels, and that includes sisters, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Except the sisters are not saints. So, the sisters have a role to play in the body of Christ. This spirit of being dumb and dormant is not of the Lord. It is an influence from the pit of hell, and we must break it. Amen. The Lord is doing something. Where were those 98 souls? And more people are going to be baptizing after today's service in Fiji, all across the centers. Is it that they were just hearing for the first time? God is certainly going to use the ministry everywhere. Look at the Middle East. Brother Pierre, his son, Brother JP, early young men, breaking barriers into Morocco, into Sudan, into Egypt, everywhere. Egypt, I went to Egypt, I was stabbed in Egypt in 2007. And I said I will never preach up to the Muslims again. I like to stay alive and preach other places. But I went back there, after Brother Gan asked me to go there, I went back there and look at the fire that is burning. We have sisters translating Brother Abraham's book, Brother Richard Gan's book, from Arabic to English to French. People are doing something. And others sit down somewhere, excusing laziness, and saying, oh, the prophet did everything. The prophet has finished everything. It is good. It is good to be that. But the real picture will be at the judgment throne of God. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, as he usually introduced himself,
right,
by the will of God. Amen.
Amen.
And that's very important. Jesus prayed the prayer on Mount Olivet at the Garden of Gethsemane the day he was arrested, the night he was arrested. Of all you know about that prayer, there's something I want to point out to you. Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And that is to tell us that we should all forget our will. Until we believe God to the place where our will submit to the will of God, we have not believed.
Right.
We are yet struggling with God, trying to force our mind, force our will, trying to force our way to get our will to be done.
Right.
And why is it like that? Because either, number one, our desires have not been touched by the Lord. We have not fully allowed the Word of God to take control of our minds. So we want to squeeze our minds into the mind of God and force it to happen. We find this among charismatic people, Pentecostals, when they shout and claim. They want to claim everything.
Right.
I claim this, I claim this, I claim this. Well, it's good. Sometimes things may happen. If it happens, does not mean that they are correct.
Right.
So I thought about it. When Brother Brown was here, there were other ministers also preaching. Why did God do that? To test the people. What do you want? What do you hear? What do you want to hear? Also in the days of Moses, there was an outstanding prophet on the ground. At that time, God did not reveal to any man who that man was. His name was Balaam.
Right.
Nobody went to consult Moses, but they went to consult Balaam. And he had a good setup. He had his terms. He knew how to negotiate his business. Kings came to him. Come, curse me these people. So he had the ministry of cursing and blessing. He did all of that. He had signs. Even in his introduction, he said, this is Balaam, the man who, while his eyes are yet open, sees the trance of God as in daylight. Openly. Moses could not boast of that. He had to climb the mountain 40 days to meet God. And yet Balaam was somewhere seeing the trance of God in openness.
Yeah.
What is vindication? Amen.
Right.
It's not what you can see.
Mm-hmm.
Vindication is actually in the truth you hear.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You're talking about miracles. We don't have it as they do. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You have not seen miracles. But there are places you go and you see miracles.
Right.
Call it magic, but something is happening. But at the end, what is the voice behind these signs?
Mm-hmm.
So the voice behind the sign hides the vindication.
Mm-hmm.
When there is truth, and the truth is consistent. Because if truth is not consistent, it's not truth. Amen.
Amen.
When revelation is not consistent, it's not truth. It must be consistent. You must trace it from here and you draw the line. Straight line. It must come. Amen. So God allowed contemporaries to rise to they rose up in their days. In the days when he was doing something important, that there should be no disturbance. When Brother Abraham was here, there should be no disturbance, but he raised men. They were there. They were also coming, associations and things. But those that God was talking to, there were not so many as we think. There were none of these ones that are shouting and clamoring today. But the generation that produced these ones that are shouting everywhere, that's not the people that God was talking to. But he needed them. They needed to drive. They needed to push. Noah could not have built the ark himself. He needed people. They needed to assist. They needed to push. But when the ark was completed, those that the ark was made for, 8 souls, they got in there. In fact, that ark was actually made for one man. It was made for Noah. So Noah and his family.
Right.
No one else. That's what he told him from the first day. That it is only you that are found worthy.
Right.
So, was the preaching all in vain? No. God has to balance. There is no judgment without warning.
Right.
So Paul, as Luke writes here, Luke himself had joined the team. Says that they started making some travels from coast to Rhodes. Then they came to Cyprus by ship, went to Syria, and then they came to Tyre, which is present day Lebanon, in verse 3. In verse 4, and finding certain disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit. I want us to understand, because we're going to travel a little with this. So when Paul came to Tyre, they found disciples. And these disciples were active in spiritual things, in spiritual gifts. They spoke to Paul in the Spirit that he should not go to Jerusalem. Take note of that. So, Paul didn't say anything. But those with Paul took notice of what they have said. So they have it at the back of their mind that, okay, the Lord has revealed, in quotes, that Paul should not go to Jerusalem. I don't know whether that is what you are seeing. So they continued the journey, and they departed and went their way. Bible said something here. He said they came to the seashore. Take note in verse 5. And they knelt down on the shore and prayed. Sisters, it was not
It's not the picture that you are thinking. It was not as free in that time. In fact, we are more free today than it was in those days. Christians were a trouble to the world. So, but for them to come out in boldness, and they came with the families, and they were going to escort the servant of God. And when he got there, he said to them, "Let's pray." And they all went down their knees. And then they prayed, talking to the Lord, thanking the Lord and weeping over one another, each other's neck. In such a time, told you that they were not ashamed of who they were.
Amen.
If those are the people we are going to share heaven with, then we must be careful. Amen. The way we treat Christ in the public.
Right.
Doesn't mean that we should come out and be so full of ourselves. No. But in the real sense, in all humility, amen, we should not deny him. There are ways we deny him. We'll get there. So they came up again. They journeyed, taking another ship, left Tyre, and they came to Lemais. And after them, they came to Caesarea, and they entered into Philip's house. In Philip's house, they called him Philip the Evangelist, the man who baptized, who preached to the Ethiopian eunuch and baptized him. Then they talked about his house. He was God's servant. Then they mentioned he had four daughters. It didn't end there. They were virgins and they were prophetess. Four of them. So God is showing us here somebody who preached the gospel. He was a preacher outside, but God honored him inside.
Amen.
Amen. I looked around. When I looked at Brother Pierre, when he came up and he was saying, "Oh, I don't know whether my family will believe. Brother Nice, you are favored. And Brother Gan is favored. And Brother Pierre, there, you people know it. But in here, it's a Muslim Mennonite society. It's not as easy as you think. It cannot be compared." I said, Brother Pierre, one spirit. Same spirit. What the Lord God will do in India, he will do in Africa. Same spirit. If you meet the conditions, the Lord will respond.
Amen.
And today, like magnets, he got them. So this man, his daughters, were not just attending church. They had the God to be their God personally also. Amen. Not their father's God. Amen. Not their father's faith. The Bible says they were prophets. And this emphasis is made because a message must have been passed in the course of their fellowship, because they stayed. The Bible says they are brought there. They were there for how many days? They stayed there for many days. They said many days, and then they came up. Then Agabus came in verse 10. Agabus, an old time New Testament prophet, he was also with Paul when Paul was the teacher and the prophet himself. So,
right.
So he came up, and as they were fellowshipping, he went and took the girdle of Paul. Now, maybe they hung their girdles there just to walk in, and then he took, the particular one he took was, he said, "The man to whom this belonged to will be tied this way," and he tied himself. "Will be tied this way." Let's read that, because it's a key verse. Verse 11. "And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus said the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth his girdle, and shall deliver him up into the hands of the Gentiles." Amen.
Amen.
Verse 12. "And when we heard it," when we heard these things, "we, both we and they of that place, besought him not to go to Jerusalem." Now, I don't have any problem with visions. I have problems with interpretation.
Right.
So before I explain this, let me take you back.
visions are not as expensive as voice in the program of God. Anyone can see anything.
Right.
One of the major visions and dreams that we in this faith and other people who tend to study are working on and studying continually from generation to generation is the 70 weeks of Daniel. It was not given to any prophet. It was given to Nebuchadnezzar. Correct? But the interpretation was not given to him. If we go back far away in the days of Joseph, he was in prison, and two men who were noble people in Egypt but put in prisons were working for Pharaoh. They had visions of the night, one same night. Let me tell you what they saw, not the vision in detail, and that's how most of us see. They saw their vision as one watching a muted video or a muted movie.
Right.
Have you ever watched a muted movie whereby there is no volume, and then you see a man standing with a woman, because he puts his hand there, you say, oh, that should be the wife, because you are not hearing anything, and yet that's the mother. Amen. So you keep assuming. Okay. He points, the man did like, he's warning him. And yet he's telling him, welcome, welcome. Maybe in their own town, they welcome people like this. Welcome. But because you are watching a muted video, you just see the pictures. There is no voice. We dream that way. Amen. If you dream that way, without a voice, your voice cannot be, your dream cannot turn to be a prophecy. Because there is nothing to say. It is not interpreted. And that's why, do not say that I just had a senseless dream. Tell to the pastor. You are not the one to discern whether it is a senseless dream or not. The Lord can come in this fellowship and break visions into pieces, but gives the interpretation with his servant. He is the one to confirm by the Spirit whether it is of the Lord or not. So you just saw, like one time in Lagos in the church, a sister came to me and said, Pastor, I don't know, I just got a useless dream. I said, hey, don't call it useless, just tell me the dream. He said, I just saw a blue car sped off. Blue car. Yes, if we look at it, it makes no sense. Then she left. 2 days later, somebody asked him, said, Brother, I don't know what I saw, but I just saw a man drive into a blue car and the car went off. And I saw the plate number. Blue car spread off. I saw a man drive into a car. Then finally, a 12-year-old boy came. Pastor, I saw brother, he mentioned the name. He drank something and he didn't know himself. And then a blue car passed. You get something there. So if you bring it together, that weekend didn't pass. A brother was dropped and kidnapped in the blue car. In fact, one of the visions mentioned where the blue car was parked. We have a police brother in the church. We told him. They tried to help, and on time, that brother was rescued. Now, Godhead didn't do that. Amen. No, we didn't preach Godhead or seven thunders or seven seals to help ratify that. That is the dynamics on this other side to help us as in our day to day. The Lord should guide us. Amen. Not only through dreams. What if you paid a flight? What about if you went to Indonesia and you were on holidays and the Lord just showed you in a vision to leave a day before the earthquake? Do you think it's not possible? Or to show somebody else and say, oh, brother, I heard that, I just tried to reach you, I heard that you were on holidays and I saw something, I think you should get out of that place. Oh, brother, no problem. It's just a bad dream. You take tea, tea, tea. Amen. So, Pharaoh's men, these two men, they saw muted video. And one of them was bold enough to come. Oh, this is what I saw. And the voice of the video, because when they were telling Joseph the dream, the Lord was opening his mind. Now he was not, because when you tell me something, or any of us here, you could create a picture of what somebody is telling you. Is that right? So, and he's speaking. But after a while, he's doing, the Lord is actually telling what that was. If it is a vision from God, there is a voice behind it. Same thing with the dream of Pharaoh. So Pharaoh's dream, when he came, that was the same thing. And Joseph came and gave the interpretation. Daniel in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar had that dream, but couldn't make it out. What he saw had no sense, but it troubled him. Because it was important. It was not for Nebuchadnezzar. It was for us today. That's our diagram. That's the key to the map that we are trying to assess, to draw. Amen. And that came up. But the interpretation was given to Daniel. Right. Now the same thing now, when we got into the days of Paul, let us look at the first message by the Spirit in verse 4. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go to Jerusalem. Right. Now, why did they tell him not to go to Jerusalem? They told him not to go to Jerusalem because they have seen some dangers happen to him in Jerusalem. Right. But they failed to ask, is it the will of God? The God of the mountain is the same God in the valley. Right. Why do we expect every time things should just go smoothly and then he says it is of the Lord? Mm-hmm. Then when things are rough, then we say at the end the devil is walking. God is walking at all times.
Right.
Satan don't walk with us. It is the Lord that walks with us.
Amen.
We are baptized in his name, receive the Holy Ghost, then we have no business with the kingdom of darkness. Yes, death will be thrown from left and right, but it is well with our soul.
Amen.
It's the confidence that we have. So they said that. Don't go to Jerusalem. They cannot just wake up and say, don't go to Jerusalem. So they moved on. Another vision came. And this time, in Philip's house, there should have been visions. And then they came up to Agabus, the prophet. And Agabus said, the man to whom this devil belongs will be tied this way. That's a definite vision.
Right.
It means Agabus have seen Paul in Jerusalem. And Agabus have seen that Paul was tied in Jerusalem. And Agabus gave the message. Take note that Agabus did not say Paul should not go to Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
He just told what he saw. Then the well wishers. Amen. Sometimes we fall in that place.
Right.
The well wishers. How you see, brother? Somebody said to me, brother, nice, you see, I think you should review. Everywhere you go, there is a problem. I think you should stop this thing. God has not called you, you know. Because if God called you, he will make a way. Amen. But I asked him, if he had not called me to do it, why is it that every time we go, where do we find, or do we pay people to be baptized and come to the church?
Mm-hmm.
We had about 16 children, family of believers, that have run away from home, some 2 years, some 3 years. I just was being introduced to parents. Oh, how many children you have? I have 4, but I've not seen one for the past 3 years. Oh, she was a very nice girl, but one day she ran off home. And my son, he doesn't come to church, he roams in the street. But I see him sometime on the street, he never comes home. Very common. Then I said, this could be a trend in Fiji, but it should not be to the believers. We are ambassadors. We have where we come from. And we began to pray. You don't believe in prayers? My brothers and sisters, pray.
Right.
We began to pray. And what happened? Fifth day, somebody walked in. The first sister that walked in, she was seated there. I don't know her. And after the message, I started praying for people and I walked there. And I held her. And she was vibrating. And the Lord spoke to her. He said, daughter, it's okay. Come back home. And she burst in tears. The father never even knew that she was there. The father was a song leader. Just seated, facing whatever, not knowing that the daughter walked in. The sisters were there, they didn't see her. But when they heard, she was crying. And they started to look back. Looked like somebody. Then they came. Oh, that's my daughter. That's my daughter I told you about. She came. And right from there, they started coming. The devil didn't do that. Amen. I believe in spiritual gifts.
Amen.
As you believe. But don't think the Lord will use other people. He will use you.
Amen.
He will use you. Because we all cannot be in the fivefold ministry. But we are in the body.
Amen.
And there is a body gift.
Mm-hmm.
You can discern. There are healing gifts. Even among you, sister. There are comforting words in your mouth, in your life, to speak, to encourage the fallen. Hallelujah!
Amen.
There are words of comfort resting in your belly that you need to bring out to speak to some of our young people here. They are going through sometimes something you don't even know. They have lots of secrets within them, hiding. And one day, if care is not taken, you just hear that somebody committed suicide. And you say, oh, how did it happen? No, we did not take notice. We must watch. Lest we sleeping, the enemy comes and snatch from us what belongs to us. We will not leave one inch of land for the enemy. Mm-hmm. There's children that the Lord has given to us. They're for signs and they're for wonders. Mm-hmm. The world is awaiting destruction. We know that. But it's not for us. A few minutes before it comes, we are gone.
Yes.
We are not afraid of what is coming. We talk boldly about it. Brother Brown said, he said, that Los Angeles will go beneath the sea.
Mm.
As clear as daylight. We are watching. That's the word of the prophets. And it's the word of God. We are watching. And it's going to come to pass.
Mm.
But is it Los Angeles alone? No. Neighboring cities. When it pushes to the Pacific, other nations will be affected.
Right.
And we can't be there. Mm. We can see it. But we will not be hurt. Because we are waiting for a change.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we find out that God was positioning the message for Paul. It was instead of discouraging Paul, who had spiritual understanding, he knew that he had to go to Jerusalem. He knew that he had been seen in Jerusalem by Agabus. He knew that he would be tough for him in Jerusalem. I was trying to pass by here. And it was as if it would not work.
Mm.
But I've seen myself here.
Right.
I've seen myself here. And I just had to wait. Wait. When you pray for something and it doesn't come, that doesn't mean that God is saying no. Just wait.
Mm.
Be sincere with what you ask the Lord.
Right.
Somebody just wants to get married and say, ah, Lord, anybody can do. Anybody. God don't have anybody.
Right.
Ask what you desire. You're doing something. Oh Lord, I need a house. I need a new house. Anywhere, even like I can live on a tree. That's not true. Be sincere. Ask what you need. You won't have it. You won't get it in heaven. You need it here. Ask.
Right.
It shall be given to you. Praise the Lord. But when you pray about it, you wait.
Right.
Your faith works. It works things out.
Right.
God is working with his children. He wants to interact with us. God wants fellowship. It's not a boss-servant relationship. It's a friendly father-son relationship.
Amen.
Sonship is not for men alone, but for men and women. Sonship is a position. But we are in this body of condition where we have to manage through some trials, through some pains. But what would differentiate us from the rest of the people or the rest kinds will be that we exercise spiritual gifts.
Right.
We encourage one another. Inquire of the Lord. Learn to inquire of the Lord.
Amen.
How is it that you have a father and you cannot interact with him? How is it that you have a relationship and you cannot use it?
Right.
How is it that you are worshiping God and you cannot talk to him to talk to you in return?
Right.
When you open scriptures to read, the voice of the Lord should be telling something, detailing in your heart.
Uh-huh.
Let me ask. While driving, very busy on a busy day, going to the office, going to work, going to the market, or whatever, in a busy traffic, busy day, busy economy, suddenly a sister's face just appeared in your mind. Have you had an experience before?
Mm-hmm.
So was that your thought? Was that part of what you wanted to think? Oh no. God is communicating with his children.
Mm-hmm.
He's telling you, say something concerning this sister. She might be in sort of some confusion or so. Then you don't need to park the car. You don't need to stop driving. While you're just there, just say the word, Lord, I lift up this sister. I don't know why I'm seeing her. But whatever situation she's undergoing, in the name of Jesus, let peace be still.
Right.
You comfort one another.
Right.
Men ought to pray. I wish that men pray everywhere.
Amen.
And in all places, lifting up holy hands.
Amen.
You're not going to pray moving like this. No, you're not going to do that. It is not this hand that God is talking about. There is an unseen hand in your heart. Lift it unto the Lord. Exercise that spiritual part of you.
Amen.
It's going to help us. Amen. I'm not going to take your time this morning so much, but we're having a combined meeting, hopefully in the afternoon, where we're going to break the hammers. This is for the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. In this New Testament era, excuse me, Paul, I was looking at it. Considering the seriousness of Paul's ministry, the weight, how weighty it was, the Lord Jesus, at different occasions, had appeared to Paul in a trance, in a night, in a temple, in a trance. Instead of coming to him like he did to Moses, Paul, right now, move. He didn't do that. He went through the instrumentation of dreams.
Right.
Do you know that God can have a conversation with you in the dream? He did that to Solomon. The wisdom we talk about Solomon today, he didn't get it through maybe an open voice from above. No, sir. In the dream, God spoke to Solomon. Solomon was conscious. Your spiritual man is conscious in the dream. They call it subconscious, but you are conscious. In the dream, you don't forget your name. And one thing in the dream, in the vision, in the spirit world, you don't have a nickname. Are you aware? They call you Josko, Jinka, Wancha. In the dream, you don't have that name. God calls you who you are. And that means we shouldn't have nicknames. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you stay, God recognizes who you are, and he stays with that. So in the dream, God talked to Solomon, establishing all that he needed to know. How he's going to run the kingdom, and the blessings that will accompany him in the vision. He woke up, it came to materialize. True! God did that. And that's why, nothing can talk me out of what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God spoke and it came to pass. You can't change it.
Right.
Amen. So God said to Saul, Paul, he said, arise, get out of this town, they will not listen to you. I'm going to send you far hence to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
He talked to him in the temple while he was praying in a trance. Amen. So there are examples. What about Peter with the Gentile church? While he was waiting for his meal, the meal delayed in coming, and then he started to rest. And while he was resting, he saw the tray coming down, tied on four edges, dropped down. We were on that tray, Gentiles. Arise, kill and eat. In a vision.
Right.
We were all on that tray, unclean beasts.
That's how God chose to pass the message. But Brother Max, did you not read in Hebrews chapter 1 that God, who had at sundry times spoken to the fathers in diverse manners and ways, have chosen in this last day to speak only through his Son?
Right.
Therefore, there's no need for dreams. No. What it means is that all dreams and vision and gifts must be judged by the word of God.
Amen.
That's what it means. It doesn't mean that God has faced out that. All visions, all dreams must be brought back. All gifts must be brought back. All counsel, order, whatever. Everything must be done by the word.
Amen.
The word is the judge. So when we allow the word to judge, then we will not be out of place. We will not make mistakes. The word is the final authority. Amen. Or else, we come and make excuses. Oh, the pastor is there. He is the one who preaches. He is the one who should have all the gifts. He is the one whose signs should follow. These signs shall follow the ministers. Is that what was said? But these signs shall follow them that believe. If you believe, yes, you believe the word, the signs will follow. Amen. We shall speak with new tongues. Amen. Today, it's not the tongues that is going on in the Pentecostal charismatic world. No. We have diverse tongues. But speaking with new tongues, it means that in a new way, the Lord will unravel these things that we just currently play with without knowing.
Right.
Praise the Lord. The Lord will bring the word. Like when Peter stood up with the 11, they spoke with new tongues. They took the Old Testament, and out of it they produced a painting of Jesus Christ, and he became alive. And the people, seeing that, they cried, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? How come we didn't know this?" What were they preaching? They were preaching the Old Testament book on Joel. And it came alive. Jesus was formed clearly to the people. But today, it's a pity that we ourselves, even us, some of us here, we sometimes lie to ourselves. Let me tell you where you lie to yourself. You believe that everyone who believes the message of Brother Abraham is already saved.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds nice.
Yes.
But God told Moses, "Tell these people, the reason why I'm driving and the way the Canaanites is because they followed idols.
Right.
When you come into this land, don't do what they did.
Right.
If you do what they did, I will push you out of this land. I will deal with you." Now, God could not exchange them
right,
like he did to the Canaanites. But he pushed them out. And worst of all, a people that were not supposed to be a people, in a sense, we are here, stones, Gentiles,
mm-hmm,
were brought in to take the first position.
Right.
But what did they do? They came in, they had Baal.
Mm.
They came in, worshipping the gods of their neighbors.
Mm.
What are we doing? When you force children on God that are not his children, you call him an adulterer.
Mm.
That is the servant of God. Just because you open the message and preach, and then, or even in the Pentecostal world, like you have in America, all those men. Just because you want to be friendly. Brother Nice, you see, let's not have problem. You stop talking about this man and they will not talk about you. No, talk about me. Talk about me. You only talk about the living. I am news. Talk about me. Because I'm not going to stop talking about you. If I don't talk about your politics, I don't talk about your business, if you were not coming out preaching, I will not talk about you. Because I know that some my children can listen to you. And they will, if I'm not careful to tell them that you are not doing what God, Christ did, they might be forced to think that you are doing the same thing.
That's right.
That which you have heard in the secret, blow it up in the housetop.
Amen.
Don't call people, don't give children for God to God by force.
Mm-hmm.
He's not asking you to do that.
Right.
You stay with the word. Don't think, because if you watch carefully, there was a time that the people who today we call Methodists
were burning for the Lord.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And then they stopped. And the light moved away. And they became Methodists. Mm-hmm. They had a form of godliness. But they denied their power. Their power is in the revelation of His word.
Amen. Right.
Amen. In the placement of His word. Then it moved. And the Pentecost people, I'm talking about Pentecost. When Pentecost came, not Pentecostals. I believe Pentecost. I have Pentecost.
Right.
Not Pentecostal. Mm-hmm. I believe charisma. It means grace. Amen. Not charismatic. And then we sometimes sit down to judge and say, no, he's charismatic. No. Amen. Mm-hmm. What makes it charismatic? When we exercise gifts? No. Praise the Lord. The gifts are real things. Martin Luther says, the gifts, and he said, the gifts are ours. A mighty fortress is our God. So when they moved, when they dropped the light moved. But they stayed with their form. Mm. What happened in this end time message?
Right.
Lovely people whom the Lord favored and brought the word through a God called prophet in this generation. So favored. And then they sat down. And idolize, praise the Lord, the gift. I forgot about the giver. Mm-hmm. The same light has moved away. God is in His word. He's not in any ideology.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And so I was almost stoned in America when I went to the U.S. to preach. And I said that Brian's Tabernacle is a museum.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, I've killed God. Oh, brother, nice. Ah, yes. The pastor is coming. I don't want to mention the name. You just go and have a photograph with him. You know, you can show to the church. I said, no. I've gone to the grave of Brother Abraham. I've snapped. Since we all have pastors in the grave, I've got to go there. I don't have need to snap with anybody.
Yes.
No. I'm equally a son of that prophet. More than any other person you can know.
Right.
Yes. Amen. Because Jesus said, who is my father? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? But they that do the will of him that sent me. The words that I speak. So you can be born 3 times. You can have 3 births in the home of the prophet and you are not his son. Don't be afraid. Amen.
Amen.
Truth is too strong to be broken. Just have truth. Nobody can break it.
Right.
When we go in the rapture, I will have this skin. Check it out. We did have suffered. But I have faced men like a lion. Yes.
Amen.
I have not shown any fear by the grace of God. Because as Paul will say, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I talk to many of our brothers, our preachers, amongst us. Don't bring confusion. True. If you know where you are standing, stand there. So we have, you want to have association. We don't need association. We need truth. We don't need friends. We need truth. Don't confuse the people. You are listening to this man, you are going with this man, you want to befriend this man, and then the people are confused.
Right.
We don't want that. There's no brother nice. Don't you think that is fanatism? No, it's not fanatism. We have a line.
Right.
Follow the vision.
Amen.
Follow the word. Have understanding in you.
Blessed
be the name of God. May the Lord help us.
Amen.
God will use you. Before he comes, you need to exercise, because we are not going to be in this body with the Lord. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, if we have a voice in the spirit, we must use it. If we have eyes in the spirit, we must use it. You must be here to exercise with the Lord, communicate with him. Let us have time to pray. visit a brother, pray for something. The islands around, like when I saw in Fiji, the other islands, Solomon Islands, what's happening there? You've not heard of Solomon Islands? Few believers there. The word of God is not so much there, and you want to go in the rapture. It might be your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't go, you can send.
Right.
If you don't send, you can pray.
Right.
It's near you. I'm in Africa. I'm crossing my boundary here.
Right.
Amen. But you are here. Sisters also, you can pray. You can talk to the Lord. The Lord can reveal to you. The Lord can go ahead to use you to assist the saints in the Lord. Whatever you find to do, I see sisters playing the keyboard, drums, whatever. Whatever you can do, editing of the message, helping, you do. We do not need to be idle. And the Lord will bless you.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Think about these things.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Just allow the Lord to sink into your spirit.
Glory.
Heavenly Father, we are grateful.
Thank you.
Thank you for your many blessings. Blessings that we cannot count. But the songwriter says, count your blessings, name them one by one.
Hallelujah.
And you will see what the Lord has done. We see your great hand in this time. Revive us, O God.
Amen.
Let your word walk in us.
Yes.
Break every chain of darkness that is tying us, not giving us the breathing space to breathe the air of the Spirit. O mighty Father, touch the inner man. For it is the inner man that received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Not this outer man. May we not respond as though it is in this flesh that we are. O Father, I pray this morning that grant us grace not to throw away our Bibles. We need it until the day of redemption. Yes, when this body is redeemed. And Lord, I pray, Father, that your anointing will move. Your pure anointing that comes from the truth, from the throne of grace. As you are walking, O God, raising your servants in these last days to push and claim every other land on the other side of Jordan, where we are, on this side of Jordan, I pray, Father, that the people following will not slack to occupy. Grant the grace this morning, this afternoon, Lord, that we will step forward to occupy. Your word says, occupy till I come. Lord, there are still souls out here in Singapore that have not heard, and yet they should hear. They have the right to hear. O God of heaven, even in our families, may our lives become written epistles that our light will shine in such a way that it will attract,
yes,
Father, those that it was meant for.
Hallelujah.
I pray for weaknesses, every weakness in our lives.
Hallelujah.
Those things that make you ashamed of us, oh Father, let your fire burn those things to chaff and let them fly away out of us in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, Father, that you give us the boldness. Because without faith, it is impossible to please you. Give us the boldness, Lord, to believe you, to exercise, to come boldly to you, to know that you are speaking to us. Oh, Father, we are your children. Thank you for the love. Blessed be your name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.